Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios, and joining us like he does every single Wednesday throughout the golf season, John Goen from Timber Trust Golf joins us on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. John, thanks so much for joining us. Nice weather out today. How are things down at Timber Trust?
Oh, good, real good. Just, happy to see some warm weather. Grass is growing. We got all of our units and everything sharpened yesterday, so we were out catching up on some mowing and everything. Got fairway heights down to about a half inch. Got our tee heights down to a half an inch as far as mowing goes. Everything's cleaning up really nice. Kind of exciting to see all of that. Just golf course really kind of taking shape right now. And then, obviously getting ready for whatever the weather is going to bring to us next week. Tomorrow night. Just no real complaints. Getting ready for... We're hosting a middle school championship tomorrow for the kids, and then we got a SNIDS event this weekend for the kids as well. So, junior golf is obviously very near and dear to us. We need to make sure that we're growing golf's future, and we're happy to be able to have everybody down and really kind of experience how the golf course is, finally kind of getting going and coming out of the winter and just excited for realistically what the start of the season feels like right now.
John, among people that come down and play at your course, who do you think their current favorite player in golf is, whether it's on PGA Tour or LIV or our ceremonial player? Who's the favorite golfer out there, do you think, right now?
Well, that's a really good question, and I think it's a little difficult.
You'd still tend to think that Justin Thomas is one of the popular ones. Jordan Spieth is popular as well, just because of their history. And of course, too, I think everybody's kind of rooting for Justin to return to form. Although you still don't, necessarily see them, you've got, I'm sure you've got... some of the LIV guys at the end of the day. I mean, Brooks and John Rahm and others.
DeChambeau.
DeChambeau. I think, those guys are all still, popular within everybody's eyes. So, draws eyeballs to TV and they're going to sit there and watch. So, I think you've got that group. I mean, great to see a guy like Will Zalatoris back and playing well. I mean, if you think about before his back injury, he was definitely one of the up-and-coming guys, and for him to return to a bit of form this quickly is encouraging. He's kind of one of those that kind of came out of nowhere a few years ago and is working his way back through the injury, obviously. So, I think that's where you kind of look at, and then, everybody tends to love a guy like Kevin Na that can make a 19 on a hole and, cuss out a Twitter account or whatever, be happy, unhappy with a lie over in Australia. So, he's another fan favorite because clearly he can also do that in San Antonio trying to chop a tree down. There's a lot of guys like that.
That tree always wins, though, Joe. That tree always wins. I asked that question because I was watching – I got home from the Redbirds game in time Sunday afternoon to watch the end of New Orleans, and it was palpable. You could feel those people, and that tournament director, please win, Rory. Please win and come back next year, because the team that was close to winning, they don't sell three tickets, and Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry would. We're down to that at a lot of week-in, week-out tour stops. It's hard to believe this field this week for Byron Nelson's tournament and that it's almost been demoted down to first weekend in May.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, the funny part is, too, is we've talked about this with you know, Palmer's event, and, you know, it's had a bit of a resurgence, but, you know, there for a couple of years, I mean, you know, the Arnold Palmer Invitational was nothing that you really got excited about turning the TV on about. So, but there's a history of this. I mean, you know, there's a history of this over the years. I mean, for the longest time, it was the Bing Crosby out at Pebble Beach. Mm-hmm. And then you had the Bob Hope, and people would go play in the Bob Hope because it was Bob Hope. You had Byron Nelson because it was Byron Nelson. You had Palmer because it was Palmer. I mean, I think we've had the same questions about, you know, when ultimately Jack were to pass away. What happens to the memorial? So, you know, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of where golf is nowadays.
We've done to golf what we've done to the bowl games. There's only a couple that matter.
Well, so that, to me, that always brings in the question of, do we really need this many events? You know, is it at the point where does the tour season maybe need to be 28 events? You know, does the Corn Ferry Tour become the more robust of the two from a schedule perspective, so that you still have these guys that have opportunities to, you know, be promoted or get their tour card or whatever? But, you know, kind of this FBS, FCS kind of group, you know, realistically at the end of the day. And just because, you know, these guys can't and are not going to play in 42 or however many events there are now. I mean, there used to be 42 or 43, I think. So, you know, they're not going to do that. So why don't we whittle the schedule down to the point where, you know, you're going to have the opportunity for these guys to maybe play in a few more of these events, and you know, then everybody benefits. Pick your, you know, unfortunately, you're going to need to pick your best markets. Mm-hmm. For those types of things to be able to happen, you know, that means probably a John Deere goes away and New Orleans goes away and, you know, places like that ultimately that have been, you know, tour stops for some time, you know, kind of fizzle away. But I think, you know, for the betterment of the schedule and the betterment of the events that are actually played, you know, I think that you need to maybe dial the schedule back a little bit and go from there. I mean, let's face it, guys. I mean, the schedule could really go back to, you know, I guess we could start in Hawaii, but we probably don't necessarily need to. So let's just start it at, you know, Torrey or Riviera or something along those lines, Phoenix.
Yeah.
And kind of start the schedule there and maybe February.
After the Super Bowl.
And it runs to August and you call it mm-hmm. a day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that, you know, there's no need for the silly season and all the other stuff and giving these guys opportunity. And again, let the Corn Ferry become the bigger schedule amongst everybody. I know TV probably won't like that, but at the end of the day, you know, you're still going to have the ability to have your better players in these events and on a more consistent basis, which is ultimately going to benefit those towns and you know, your sponsors that are involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting. We're talking golf with John Goen like we do every single Wednesday from Timber Trust Golf, and we're 10 minutes into the segment. I don't want to go another minute before we give Brett a round of applause. Give him
well,
some praise
you.
For
thank
the
you.
Win last
great
week.
Job, Brett.
Rory
right.
McIlroy
thank you, John.
And Shane
Howard. I haven't heard John
look,
say thank
I just
you
wanna
yet,
say, I just want to say,
congratulations.
Look, I'll give John his you know his moment in a second. I just want to make this clear that this is the second true winner of the season and really the first
that,
true
John?
Winner of the season, because I'll understand mine was a secondary tour that I got the win on. That's understandable. Yours was the primary tour of the weekend, Brett. Congratulations to you. First real win of the season.
Their life without Scotty Scheffler, John.
Honestly.
What did he just say? I'm sorry. I think my phone must have broke up at the time.
First real win of the year.
Because I'm pretty sure
I did win at Augusta.
Well, you know, Scottie Scheffler, you got to throw it out. You know, when you get a layup like the number one golfer in the world,
anybody can pick.
You know, that's right.
Mr. Automatic.
Do without Scottie Scheffler.
Johnny, great pick, picking Scottie Scheffler. I congratulate you.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. You too, John. Good job.
I'm glad the Scottie Scheffler Club's
happy. Some of us are blessed with great picking talent. Yeah, man. Others are in fourth place.
You know, I feel like I'm digging myself a real big hole, Brett, for in a couple weeks when I'm sitting in last place and Scottie Scheffler's back in the field.
And you have to take him for the PGA.
And he's got zero sleep from having their newborn child. He's completely trying to be in form, but he's not going to be in.
And he misses the cut.
He's trying
to get back home to help his wife with the newborn baby because that's where his mind and his priorities and everything has been at right now. And he's going to show up in Louisville in a couple of weeks and completely... Mm-hmm. I won't say he'll miss the cut, but he won't be in contention, and Brian's going to have the opportunity to take him, and then he's going to just have to kick himself all weekend. Yeah.
That would be so sad. John, I'm watching that tournament from New Orleans, and I sent video after video to both Bryant and to Johnny, and I know you know that course well through the TPC family that you work for forever. But, John, those alligators down there, there was literally a video. It would be akin to everybody visualize being at the FedEx St. Jude Classic. There where we are, along 18, John, right by the hospitality tent. John, you know it well. You know every blade of grass out there well. And you go to that restroom area, Bryant, kind of when you go toward 18T, but you turn left and it's kind of back behind the hub area. And the water is there on 12, which is a key thing. You go to the bathroom, and you come out, and a crocodile is staring at you.
No, thank you.
I'll pass.
John, it's going to happen one of these days in New Orleans. We're going to have a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, look, I mean, you've got the same issue. Like, what was it, a few years ago when Kip Henley went after that alligator at Harbortown? Mm. There was one laying up on the bank, and he had to go grab a bunker rake to kind of prod it back into the water. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, look, I mean.
It's his water. It's his bunker. It's his rake.
Sure is.
Well, I mean, he went back swimming, so, I mean, everything was fine. Nobody got hurt, Brett. Nobody got hurt. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just scared of it. John, I did want to ask you about, of all the things that are the kind of the controllables and the uncontrollables in running your great golf course down at Olive Branch, bunker maintenance. I hear everybody kind of complaining about that and everybody wanting less bunkers. Do you identify with that?
You know, there's still a couple that I ponder whether we need, you know, or not. But, you know, there's times where they, you know, kind of help frame depth perception a little bit. So although they may not come into play a heck of a lot, it frames, you know, the backside of the hole from a depth perception perspective. So, you know, there's those types of things that you have to take into consideration as well. But, like, there's a bunker left of 15 that I've toyed around with, whether we really need to have, you know, could we do something to minimize the bunker a little bit behind number two? It definitely doesn't need to be probably as big as it is. You know, I know that the previous owners took a few bunkers out, filled them in on four and five, to my recollection. So, you know, I think it's definitely something you always contemplate and ponder, but I do also think that at the end of the day, you know, they're there for a bit of a reason on a few different fronts. So, you know, it's always a great debate as to you know, and maintenance is definitely challenging at times with them. But I think, you know, we do a heck of a job maintaining the ones we've got. We've got 23 or 24 bunkers total. So it's not as if we've got a heck of a lot. We're not, you know, Southwind or some of these others that have hundreds of bunkers.
that you're having to maintain with the straights. You know, so you know, it simplifies things a little bit. We can basically rake our bunkers in an hour or so, and so it doesn't take a lot of time out of our schedule to be able to maintain those. The edging everything else is a little challenging. So
let's stay in the bunker as far as playing, because if we're not scared of alligators, we have no alligators on our courses, but we as weekend players, we're as scared to be in the bunker as we would be walking up on that alligator. With lessons from you, John, down at Timber Trust, can you take a really bad bunker player and make he or she much better to being a good player? Is that an easy fix?
It's a little bit different swing. You know, club works itself a little bit, you know, vertically quicker and things along those lines. So, you know, people are always wanting to try to help the ball in the air out of a bunker. You don't really need to do that, you know, similar to full swing. So there's some similarities. I mean, you know, between bunker full swing, I mean, we're definitely trying to hit a little bit more down into bunkers to allow the sand to kind of push it out, you know, the explosion shot to kind of happen. So, you know, there's some learning behind that. But at the end of the day, I think we definitely can kind of try to help folks simplify the process a little bit. And I think, you know, being able to think about, you know, hitting a little bit more behind the ball, opening club face up a little bit more, really kind of utilizing
the
bounce
sand
of the club
to
kind of help yourself. Yeah. I mean, you know, so and not have to feel like you got to swing extremely hard to be able to get it out. I think, you know, you always see a lot of folks that you know, maybe mess too much with ball position, or they're trying to swing so hard because they either feel like that there's a lot of sand in bunkers, or there's you know, I know too, in wetter sand people always want to swing a little bit harder. Well, that sand's compact, so it's not going to create as much of an explosion, so we don't need to swing quite as hard because that ball is going to come out faster in you know, wetter sandy condition.
And John, for the player, let's say that's starting this year, right now, shooting 84, 85, what's the and none of it's easy. But what's the simplest way for them to get from 84 to 85 to breaking 80 consistently by Labor Day?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I think it's probably the simplest answer, and that is it's probably chipping and putting. It's a lot of short game because at the end of the day, we're going to miss greens. And you know, we need to really rely on our short game to be able to help save those strokes. You know, so many times, you know, the old adage, I mean, you know, at most you're going to hit 14 drivers in a round of golf, yet we want to sit there and beat drivers on a range all
dang right, this is fun.
Long. So, you know, we're spending the most amount of time in our practice session working with a club that we're going to hit at most 14 times during the course of a round. And so, you know, to kind of really work on your short game. And then, you know, a lot of my lessons that I do, we're really only going to swing 7 or 8 iron, for a few different reasons, you know, mainly 7 iron, because one, the club is short enough to where we can feel swing change. We can work on swing change and really kind of feel it because we can control that club. Feel some position changes. Two, it's got enough loft on it to where we can get the ball up in the air and we can still see how the ball is going to curve. But realistically, too, when you're practicing with those clubs, 7 and 8 irons, it provides that opportunity to where when you get out on the golf course, yeah, it may not be the exact right club in a situation, but you have that go-to club to where if I need to hit a ball into a certain spot, I've worked on this club every single time I've been out practicing on the driving range, and it's now that club that I can turn to if I need to hit a shot in a certain situation, whether it's under, over, or whatever, around a tree or you know, things along those lines, laying up to a certain yardage. I know how this club's going to perform because I've swung it so many times when I've been out practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get to some picks. The Byron Nelson this weekend, and I'm still in dead last. So
fire away, Brian. You're on the tee.
I'm on the board first. Give me Jason Day, the winner from last year.
Jason Day went fast, didn't he, Johnny?
He did.
I got Ryan Fox.
Okay.
Ryan Fox leaves me with Tom Hoagie. John.
Right.
Yeah, how is Tom Hoagie number one on the tour rankings list this week, the power rankings? Wow.
59 OWGR.
I hear you. I'm going to take Siwoo Kim.
That is a great pick, John. That's what I was torn with between Hoagie and Siwoo Kim. That's a great pick. Any pick for the second, but if they win, it would pay double. Brian.
Let's go Mark Hubbard for our second pick.
Mark Hubbard played well a few weeks ago when Johnny had him. Johnny?
I got Nick Dunlap.
Ooh, I like that pick.
Roll Tide, Nick Dunlap. That leaves me with Tom Kim. I've got Tom Hoagie and Tom Kim.
I thought I was going to have him just kind of fall this direction. I'm like, oh, you know, everybody's got him in a
I almost took Stuart Sink, but I didn't.
I'm going to go straight Team South Korea. I will take Sun J-M. Mm.
I like it. I like your picks, John. Very good. John, tell us more about Timber Trust, what you have coming up, the phone number, and the website for people to enjoy golf down in DeSoto County.
Yeah, so, you know, as we've talked about, you know, the weather's just kind of getting right for golf. I know we've got a little bit of rain kind of working through, and then there's some chances over the weekend. But overall, I mean, really good weather on the slate for the next probably 10 to 15 days. So plenty of opportunities to be able to come down. There's our Thursday night two-man scrambles. We've got Spark Golf League on Wednesday evenings. That's a nine-hole golf league that you can participate in. As I said, we've got some junior events kind of coming up. So, you know, we always love being involved in junior golf from that perspective. Happy to continue to grow the future of our great game. You can always visit us at timbertrustgolf.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Timber Trust Golf Course. You can call us 662-895-3530. Our SIP championship, which we do on the Saturday of the PGA championship, is already sold out. So if you are looking to join the wait list, you can just call the shop to be able to do that. Again, 662-895-3530 to be able to get on the wait list for that. It's a four-person scramble event where you pick a tour player that makes the cut in the top 20 before we go out and play. It's your team scramble score with their score from the Saturday of the major. So, but plenty of great opportunities. We'll do a similar event for the U.S. Open in June and again in July for the Open Championship. So plenty of great opportunities to be able to come down, plenty of events and things along those lines kind of going on, you know, from our perspective, for people to be able to come out and have an opportunity to be able to play the golf course. And we're just going to continue to get better from here. You know, growing conditions are definitely getting to the point of being ideal, and we'll continue to kind of keep coming out of winter and any sort of, you know, minimal damage that we might have had, you know, with some just, you know, spring dead spot, things along those lines that everybody kind of battles this time of year. So again, feel free, timbertrustgolf.com, or call us 662-895-3530 to book your tee times.
John, enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
All right, guys. Take care. Enjoy the Byron Nelson.
Thanks, John.
All right, guys.
John Goen from Timber Trust Golf joining us. Talk some golf. Also make our weekly picks for the Byron Nelson this weekend. And, man, it is, you know, like you said, it's one of those weekends where you can pick anybody with not a ton of guys in that top 25 that we usually pick for our lock, and then outside you know, of that with our shock. So it's going to be interesting to see what can happen.
Great pick, Brian.
Oh, thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that.
You see how I'm giving you credit? Great pick.
Thank you. Is that like something that's supposed to like wear off on me or something? Like, hey, you see how I do it? Yeah, that's how you give credit to people. I don't know.
John had the picks, though.
Yeah, he did. He did real good.
I like his team.
I like his team as well. I think some interesting guys we can, and I think very interesting, Jordan Spieth, you know, in an area that he's familiar with. Nobody picks
Tom
him.
Tom Hoagie played college golf at TCU.
Yeah, so some good names out there, and should be a really interesting weekend for the Byron
Nelson. I miss this tournament being a little bit later, a week or two later, and I miss it at Las Colinas. I don't know anything about TPC Craig Ranch and
right.
don't want to learn.
No. It's a little different. Definitely a little different. But let's go ahead and get to a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the NFL, some news and notes coming out as we're still hitting the off season for the NFL. But we'll talk about that next on Sports Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. And some interesting news out of the NFL. We talked a couple days ago, Travis Kelce, he agreed to a two-year extension. He said that there was no chance, there was no even, never a thought in his mind that he would hold out for this contract. He wanted to get it done. He got it done. End of discussion, which was interesting to see. But one of the bigger stories that I saw earlier today, despite Roger Goodell's hypothetical, no talks between NFL owners and union on 18-game schedule yet. So that's kind of the big one. We were talking about that after the draft, that it feels like, it's felt like for a while that the 18 games are coming, and Roger Goodell's comments at the draft kind of made it seem like those were going to be here really soon, but no talks, according to these sources, of that between the union and the owners.
There's even some debate that the owners have it within their rights, their prerogative, to do it without it being
Holy
collectively
cow.
Bargained. But they want to do it,
sure.
You know, with good intentions and goodwill toward the Players Association, because they don't want to rock the boat. Everybody knows they've got a great thing, and they don't want to bigfoot them.
Sure.
But there's some debate out there that in the current framework, in NFL bylaws, mm-hmm. constitution, whatever you want to call it, that they could reduce if they would like. But you know they're not going to do that.
Right.
Nothing's going to happen until the season. I feel like until the season of fall of 2026, because Super Bowls are set for next February 11th in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
The following year, Super Bowl 60, what Super Bowl would that be? 59?
Yeah,
59.
Yeah.
Oh, these Roman numerals.
Oh, yeah.
Will be February 9th, 2025. And then 2026, back to Levi's Stadium, February 8th, 2026. Those cities, maybe 26.
Yeah.
You could do it for fall of 25. But those other two, I bet you they already have a contract signed with hotel, visitors, convention bureau, people mm-hmm. like that. Because what the NFL, what they do, and I'm just using round numbers here. I don't know the exact number. But say in New Orleans, there's 3,000 hotel rooms. They go in and buy and negotiate a price, let's say for an average of $150, $200 a night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they get their check for that from the NFL. Then the NFL, they sell that hotel room, you know, up to $500, $600, $700. They make that.
Right.
They keep that difference. And they probably even keep a little bit on food and liquor
right.
at the hotel venues. Those dates are set. They're already making plans for that, and the contract is probably already signed with those cities. And so you can't say, well, we'll just move back 2 weeks.
Right.
Maybe 2026, but by that Super Bowl, wherever it will be in 2027, you'll have 18.
I think you're right. I mean,
I can see it.
Yeah, I mean,
and
even
think of the cold weather
Whoa.
Games. The cold weather.
Yeah.
Late season game. So
in Buffalo.
So now instead
oh,
of
yeah.
in well, it won't be in Nashville because they're going to have a dome.
Sure.
In Charlotte.
Yeah.
That time of year in Kansas City
yeah.
without a roof.
Mm-hmm.
In Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
places that you don't think of as you know really
sure.
you know ice bowls. It could be when you're playing that 18th game of the year on the 20th weekend, they're going to factor in two open dates for everybody with the new deal, it feels like. But you're playing that last game of the year on January 20th.
Wow.
First weekend of the playoffs, you know, the next weekend. Wild card weekend, the 27th.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's brutal. That's brutal. But, I mean, even before Roger Goodell had these comments, we've been talking about the 18-game schedules coming. Everyone knows.
Sooner or later.
Yes. And yeah. So I think we're certainly getting close to it.
Yeah, we're getting close to it. A couple last things from the draft.
Mm-hmm.
This draft kept alive a streak for USC having a player drafted back to 1939.
Whoa.
Florida back to 1952. Miami back to 1975. Notre Dame and Iowa. Hayden Fry and Kurt Ferentz since 1978. And I think that was Hayden Fry's either that was his first year, he got there the next year. Wisconsin, 1979 for them.
I think those numbers don't sound as truly unbelievable as they really are. Because you think, oh, USC, good program. But to have that many guys get drafted year after year after year and
phenomenal.
Have that, that's incredible. Wow.
Because it's a lot of good programs out
there.
I didn't mention Alabama. Mm-hmm.
No.
I didn't mention Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I didn't mention – oh, in fact, the only SEC I mentioned was Florida, 1952.
Yeah. That's insane.
And from – 1952 until Spurrier really got there, they weren't that good.
Right.
They were good, but had a lot of players.
Sure.
Also, Power 5 teams this year with nobody drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech,
okay.
Syracuse, Oklahoma State,
mm-hmm.
Baylor, Indiana, Northwestern, Nebraska, Arizona State, Colorado, and Vanderbilt.
Interesting. And honestly, those are the teams you expect to not have guys drafted from them.
What do you think is the outlier in that that you're surprised that they didn't? Mine's Oklahoma State with the job that Gundy does year in, year out.
I would say Oklahoma State. I'm surprised, three ACC schools in there? That's a little bit of kind of surprising.
The first three I named.
Yeah.
So Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Syracuse.
I think that jumps off to me, kind of mm-hmm. having that many from one conference.
And it highlights just how great Beamer was.
Oh, man.
At John Goins' alma mater.
That's right.
He's a proud Hokie.
Yeah, he sure is. He lets us know about it every year around football season.
He does.
But you're right. I mean, it shows he was unbelievable getting guys, having a successful program and then getting guys into the draft. And now you're kind of seeing that, really struggling teams and not a lot of guys going and making that next step.
I'm a little surprised the direction that Baylor's going after.
Yeah.
You know, seeing them at the Sugar Bowl at the end of the 2021 season, I thought, you know, Aranda's got it going. I even said, you know, he probably should be on a short list someday mm-hmm. whenever Saban moves on. He wasn't on a top 100 list.
No, but it felt like it. I mean, that was a good year for them. It felt like, you know, a lot of positive momentum, especially after everything that had happened there a couple years prior, that, you know, they're getting in the right direction. This is going to be a team that's going to be able to bounce back and be kind of back up towards the top of the Big 12, and they've just not been able to get there.
Here are the states that produced the most draft picks.
Here we go.
Florida, 28. Texas,
shocker.
24.
Yeah.
Georgia, 23.
Wow.
California, 18.
What do you expect? I mean,
only one that didn't surprise me, I thought Ohio would be there. It's going to mm-hmm. take a minute to get to them. Then at 12, Louisiana.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
Always good. Then a group of five with 10 players taken. Alabama in the group, Maryland.
Wow.
And I talked about that the other day with Max Shadwick. Mm-hmm. Who were we talking about? And Max Shadwick. That's
it
who
was,
we were talking
yeah.
with.
Mm-hmm.
And how that area is really growing. North Carolina.
Okay.
New Jersey,
wow.
Ohio.
Wow.
It's population. It's numbers.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. And, that's kind of what you expect from all those places. And certainly from the top, those states, you expect a lot of guys coming out of those states.
New Jersey is just raw numbers because
sure.
it's not growing.
No, not at all.
And Alabama is, it's not growing exponentially. And it's not that big. It's that important to them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I had a tough time convincing a friend of mine a long time ago just how much it matters to them what Friday night means in the state of Alabama.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. It's huge. And I think you kind of get lost in that because I think everyone thinks, oh, Texas. When it comes to high school football, that's Texas.
And Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights. And so you kind of forget about all the other states, but certainly massive in Alabama.
Little surprised that Pennsylvania is not on this list.
Yeah, I mean, after so much success from the state of Pennsylvania and plenty of good players still coming out of it, but yeah, that is surprising. That's a good catch.
And the value of Western PA.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, cradle of quarterbacks, cradle of every position group you can think of. Ohio makes sense. It means that much to them.
Sure, sure.
And it's that big.
It is. It's huge. And, I mean, you always see a lot of guys coming out of that state, and so that doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I expect that.
It makes some of the SEC jobs more understandable of why they're pretty tough nuts to crack jobs.
Yeah.
South Carolina's not on there, and they've got Clemson sitting there.
Exactly. I mean, you've got that other big-time program right there, and now you're having to try to at least split all the top prospects from your home state. That's difficult.
I think Mississippi had 9 players, but, you know, Kentucky and Arkansas, they don't produce a lot of players, sure. And Kentucky's got a lot of years split with Louisville.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Missouri not on here, but Drinkwitz may be – he may be closing the Kansas City-St. Louis gap on some of the Big Ten poachers.
It feels like it. I mean, he's in there with all those top guys and having a lot of success
collective.
With them. Sure, yeah, and that's big time.
Maybe the best collective of any state going.
Yeah, and that state legislature that you know, says once you sign that you can start making that NIL, kind of enticing those guys to stay home and go to one of those programs.
And they don't have to split with anybody. There's no other football playing. Yeah. I mean, you know, Arkansas does have Arkansas State.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, yeah, and you look around, I mean, a lot of these southern states have other programs that they're having to fight out and fight with, and certainly Mississippi, you know, obviously Mississippi State and Ole Miss makes
it
very difficult, and Southern Miss, absolutely. So, it's definitely hard in the South, but Missouri has a pretty good hold on it. I want to bring this up real quick while we're on the NFL topic before we get to a break. We mentioned earlier this week kind of the switch up in the pregame shows. Matt Ryan going to be on CBS this year with their pregame show. Jason Kelce kind of flew under the radar, but he'll be on the Monday Night Football Countdown after his retirement last year. How do you think he fits in that group and on that set?
I think he'll be great. One thing that I want him to do, I know the image.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it.
Sure.
Don't always think you have to be class clown.
It doesn't have to be that all the time.
You can go off script and really just talk football.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he's great talking football.
I do, too.
I mean, he's awesome. But you're right. He always wants to revert back to that kind of class clown, party animal vibe.
It's what I said about Les Miles at LSU. He started laughing at his own jokes. And became full clown.
Sure. Sure, and I think you're seeing a lot of that from Jason.
I say that, and then what I always to everybody say, be yourself.
Sure,
and I think he is class clown.
I think he's nuts. I do too.
So, and he's got to be that.
I mean, we'll see. And but I do think he'll fit in well, and you know, it'll be fun to see him on the other side of it, not the player side, but, you know, the media side. And obviously his podcast with his brother is extremely successful, and they've got a good thing going. And so, you know, seeing him on ESPN with that Monday Night Football Countdown, that'll be fun to watch.
And it will be.
I think we'll bring a good flavor to it.
And that's the one I get to watch the most until December.
Sure. So it'll be fun to watch. But let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Mm-hmm.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
Or a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
I really love my big number.
Hey, man, I'm so excited for your number, Brian.
I've been building it up to Johnny all afternoon because I came in with a different big number.
Really?
Sometimes that can work against us.
It can. But I came in with a big number today that I'm not going to use. Maybe I'll use it tomorrow. Probably won't. I'll probably just scrap it. It wasn't a very good big number anyway. But I brought up something earlier that made me think. And I've been sitting here doing research during breaks and stuff trying to get this big number together. So I finally have – there's a big number – and then there's a smaller big number.
Okay.
So my big number today is 11, okay?
Okay.
My smaller big number is 7. Okay, stick with me. The Chicago White Sox today have lost their 26th game of the season against the Minnesota Twins. Twins rolling, by the way. 11 times this year in games that the White Sox have lost, they have led at least 1 point in the game. 11 of 26. That's incredible. Also, I have a smaller big number. I said 7, right?
Yeah, you did.
7 times this year, they have led after 5 innings. A lot of people, especially in the gambling markets, consider the 5 inning as kind of the halftime, the midway point of the game. You can bet, you know, after 5 innings, you know, who's leading after 5.
They've been going
that
against
sort of
them.
Thing. 7 times this year, they have led after 5 and then ended up losing that game. So really, I mean, it's been brutal all year for the White Sox because there's a lot of times this year that they've gotten up and you feel good. Okay, this is a game they're going to win. Oh, we're in the 6th inning and they've still got the lead. And then here comes that opposing team. And, you know, it's been and the Twins have been – I should go a little deeper into this.
Go deep, Brian.
Twins have been a killer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times this year already. The White Sox have led the Twins, and the Twins have come back to win.
Broke
their heart. 4 of those times, 4 out of the 5 times.
Division games.
Exactly. In 4 of those 5 times, the White Sox led those games after 5. So the Twins have been a White Sox killer all year long.
And you learn how to win those kind of games, mm-hmm. and you learn how to keep stay comfortable in knowing how to lose those
games.
Unfortunately,
I think the White Sox are starting to get comfortable in those games.
Phenomenal big number, Brian.
You really did, Brian.
Amazing. Cheers for you, man. Got to clap for you up, man.
Thank you.
You mentioned at the betting sites. Do you know FanDuel has released their first odds today on an Ole Miss game for this year?
It's not my big number. You're kidding. Wow.
Against Georgia.
And
November 9th in Oxford.
Goodness. And what is the line set at?
What would you think it would be?
Oh, geez. I,
in Oxford, Georgia won 52-17 last year.
I would say Georgia minus 3.
5.5.
Really? That big? Holy cow. That could be a big number because that's surprising.
But by November.
Sure. Who knows what it will be?
Do we know Carson Beck's going to be in there for Georgia? We know Jackson Dart's going to be in there for Ole Miss. I mean, a lot can happen between now and November.
Yeah.
My big number is 6-17. 6-17. The Clippers. Since the start of the 2011-2012 season. That's when we really hated them, didn't we?
Try it, sure.
Since the start of 2011-2012, they have a record of 636-394. Trust me, that's 617 percentage basketball. That's a lot of winning.
It's a lot of winning. Wow.
But nothing big in there.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Yeah.
None. No postseason.
No noise
success.
In the postseason.
Yeah, like you said, no postseason success.
No, it's been maybe a series win here, maybe a series win there. A lot of excitement.
That's a
building.
Lot of winning with a lot of different coaches, a lot of different players that we really hated back then.
Yeah, especially those guys back then. Really.
Especially.
Hated them.
Including Grant Hill.
He'll
give me the respect lecture.
And Chris Paul.
Oh, and especially Chris Paul.
Oh, man, yeah, Chris Paul.
And Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin.
So glad he retired with
DeAndre Jordan.
DeAndre Jordan.
Jordan, man. Interesting.
The announcer.
Guys.
We hated him.
Yeah.
Ralph Lawler.
That's right. All the way down to the
we hated them all,
to the
Johnny.
Folks working the concession stand.
Hey, what you say? Even the announcers.
That's right.
Man, those were some good days, though. I missed them days.
Really FedEx Forum was so great tonight. They eliminated the Clippers.
Unbelievable.
That was electric, man.
In
I missed going to the playoff games as a young
those
young
series man. Against the Clippers.
Late Friday night game.
Thunder. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Them games, too, man. Amazing.
Good stuff.
That Thunder game that went all those overtimes.
Way too late.
I got home like at 2:30.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I did not go to that game. It was a school night. But
it was a school night for me, too, and I was sleepy the next day.
Yes. But no, it's going to be a fun one tonight. We've already mentioned it that the Dallas, 3.5-point favorites on the road in L.A. just feels like a lot of points.
That stands out, doesn't it?
Sure does. It sure does. But, I mean, it feels like it's going to be a close one. I almost, like, out of principle, it feels like you have to take the Clippers in this one. At home,
they're
it's
begging
been a tight season.
To.
And that's the problem, is they're begging you to take the Clippers, and it feels like that's going to be the reason the Mavs come out and win by double digits.
Kidd's 11-11 as a head coach in the playoffs with Dallas.
Wow. So, 500 ball for Jason Kidd is the Mavericks head coach.
So why is he favored over anybody on the road then?
That's a very good point by you. So we'll have to wait and see tonight. The late night game on TNT, part of that doubleheader, only two games going tonight. So we'll see what happens. Kawhi Leonard out for the Clippers. Maybe that's one of the reasons. But he's been out this entire series. I don't know why that would swing it much. But let's go ahead and wrap up our second hour. Get to a break. When we come back, we'll stick to the topic of the NBA because Rob Fisher, he joins us to talk all the action of the NBA playoffs. We'll do that next.